What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United podcast. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United podcast network. I'm your host, Jeff, and we're not drinking today because we poured it all out for Drew Brees, unless you're James, then, and which we'll get to that in a minute. But yes, I will say this is the Drew Brees tribute show from the Dome Patrol podcast. 20 years in the NFL, over 80,000 passing yards, 571 touchdowns, 12 consecutive seasons with 4,000 or more passing yards, 5 of the top 10 passing yardage seasons in league history, the only player with multiple 5,000-yard seasons, and he's got 5 of them. The first player in NFL history to reach 7,000 completions, the most completions in a single season at 471. He owns the top 3 single season completion marks, the most consecutive games with 20 plus completions, 61, 54 consecutive games with a touchdown pass, that's an NFL record. The only player to throw a touchdown pass in 45 consecutive games, not once, but 2 times. Tied for the most passing touchdowns in a game, 7 games with 5 touchdown passes to 0 interceptions. I mean, I'm not even halfway through the list of credentials, but if I keep reading, then we're not going to have a show because we'll run out of time. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and try to enjoy the show where we lose the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. Jason, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
It's a sad day, but we knew it was coming. But, you know, rattling off all those stats, the national assholes will still find a way to discredit the guy. It continues to be amazing. But it now that it's official, it just really brings up old memories, which we'll get into in the discussion coming. But, yeah, man, the best era in Saints football is over. Best quarterback we'll ever have. I'll say that. Best quarterback we will ever have.
That's right. Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero, working tonight. Yeah, you kind of said everything that needs to be said there, Jeff. That's all the show we have. Yeah,
like just to see who's here, right?
Yeah, well, I said we knew this day was coming. You know, we gave our instant reactions after the Tampa Bay game, but still, you know, still when you saw the news flash up, it was, you know, it still left your heart sort of just went a little bit, didn't it? Yeah. And, yeah, it's a sad day, but exciting future for him and for us. I've now going to sit down and read the Brees and Peyton book. And I said I was always going to wait till Brees called it a day till I read that. So that's going to be my evening this evening, going through that. So yeah, working. All good.
All right.
Yeah, Scott, I mean working. Yeah.
Right. Scott, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I am. I don't know. I have mixed emotions. I'm kind of torn at the moment, to be honest with you. I guess we can discuss more. I'll let you introduce everybody, but I'm kind of, I don't know, kind of torn a little bit.
Speechless. James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
That's the only beer I've had. So to be fair, I'd be a 0.5 maybe. It's a German grapefruit beer. Very interesting. Very nice. Ooh,
that sounds good.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
I like a little grapefruit IPA.
Yeah, it's nice. Just on Jason's point where he said he's the best Saints quarterback we'll ever see. He's the best Saints player we'll ever see.
Ooh, that's a fair and accurate statement. All right. So obviously, yeah, this show is all about Drew Brees. I did rattle off a few of those stats really quickly. If there's any that you wanted to dive in, reminisce about, maybe specific passes, maybe I figured we'd go a little bit, give everybody a chance maybe to tell one of your favorite memories of Brees. I don't know, of watching Brees play.
All of them. But if I had to choose.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, looking back, the
571
one thing,
of them,
and especially for us that are old enough to remember the pre-Brees days and the just absolute garbage that we have had at quarterback since Archie was here. Just thinking back, it's kind of what made the era so great. Yeah, nice job with your invisible cup,
the green cup.
What made it so great, especially like. you know, even before we won the Super Bowl, like 7, 8, 9, just after that 06 season, you're like, okay, this guy gives us a chance to win every single time that he takes the field. Even if, you know, we know the roster is not as good as the other team, at least with him, like this weird, not weird, but this confidence that we had, knowing that, yeah, going into a game, there's no game where like, okay, we're going to get our asses kicked. And we had a lot of that before.
Yeah, I remember in 06 when he said it was all supposed to be about Reggie, right? And Sean Payton's coming in, this unknown coach. Reggie Bush was the big hype. And we signed Drew Brees and everybody was kind of like, okay, you know, hey, anything's better than Brooks. And we've, even if we've got an injured Charger quarterback who he wasn't bad. I mean, he was really good at San Diego. So we're like, hey,
I hope he can throw more than 5 yards downfield. 15 years later.
And yeah, I think it was like at some point during that season, everybody kind of, I think, realized like, oh shit, like this is legit. This isn't just a good quarterback. Like we've hit the payload, right? We've hit jackpot over here.
It doesn't feel like 15 and then years. 07 like happened. Flew by. Feels like it flew by, doesn't it? Like it doesn't feel like
I can remember some of those older, you know, that those early seasons like it was yesterday. And like I'll go ahead and say, like, still to this day, I think my favorite game that I've been to outside of, like, you know, I guess regular season game outside of the Falcons game was the Dallas game in 06, where, you know, we both had good records. Nobody's, you know, the Saints had a decent record at that time, but I don't know that anybody really trusted us yet. And then to go just beat the shit out of Dallas in Dallas, that was kind of like, that was the moment where like, holy, like we're really for real. And I just had so much fun in that stadium. Just beating the
there
shit out
it
of
is.
America's team.
That's why he liked it. I'm like, there's so many times that we beat Dallas now in the last 15 years that they're all running together.
Well, because, you know, because at that
new
point,
stadium or the old yeah. stadium.
Oh, it was the old. It was the old one. It was a dump. It really was a dump. But again, that was.
It isn't Brees the only quarterback to beat all 15 or 16 teams?
What?
Oh, 32 teams he's beaten.
16 teams. What the hell are you talking about? Game, right? 16.
Season. 16 on each side of the NFL. No, but yeah, he's the only quarterback to beat all 32 teams, right?
As it stands.
There's one team that Tom Brady hasn't beaten, and they're playing them next season.
Okay, well, this is being recorded on March 16th, 2021, and as of right now, it's
Brees. As it stands, yeah, it's Drew Brees.
So did Brees beat the Saints with the Chargers then?
Yeah.
He did? Okay.
That's you can't beat them all unless you beat the Saints.
Well, I wasn't sure whether he'd beaten the Saints. So
are you counting the last playoff game as him beating the Saints?
Here celebrating. The only stadium he didn't win in was Denver, and he had a great chance of doing that this year, but obviously the injury took him out of that game. So that would have been another stat he would have won in every stadium. So. Damn. Yeah, it's a shame that he didn't get that win over Denver. Even if he was broken ribs, just getting through the last kneel down in the fourth quarter.
Right. If he didn't get hurt last year and the year before, he probably would have the touchdown record over Brady too, don't you think?
Yeah. Obviously, Brady's going on.
But you got to remember, Brady missed a whole year when he blew out his knee.
Yeah.
So. I mean, if you want to go that route.
Well, but he also started. I mean, Brees didn't start his first year and a half or 2 years. So,
ooh,
did Brady? I mean, I know he came in for Bledsoe year.
He came in during his rookie year, and he's been the starter.
It was rookie year. I wasn't sure if it was rookie year or second year.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about Tom Brady. We're here to talk about
Fuck that steroid asshole.
Yeah, like he just. I say he's the non-prototype quarterback, you know, 6 foot, not out of a great school. This wasn't supposed to be a success story, him coming
short
down
guy
to the Saints.
By quarterback down, standards.
Coming to a team that's only won one playoff game in their history, and then will you win 9 with us? Like, he turned the franchise around to a day where now you've got people like Russell Wilson turning around and saying, hey, I'll come and play for the Saints.
Yeah,
that's the effect that he has had on this organization, and it'll be an everlasting dent into the organization was fantastic for us going forward. He really has, you need that kind of player to set the platform. Look at Miami since the Marino, like everyone classes Miami as such a well respected organization because of the history, because they had that one great player.
I think they were.
Thanks, Saban.
I wouldn't call Miami respected today, though. But yes, at the time,
I think players would go and play for Miami. People would go and play for Miami now.
Why don't they then?
Well, we'll see. but no, I think
it's a great city to live in. If you,
I think that's the only reason why people would go there, right, is to live.
Yeah,
in Miami.
Okay, potentially.
But the to your point, the leadership that he has, I mean, he's led this team for 15 years and. Really, to do that consistently year in and year out is a pretty big deal. And to not really ever, except for maybe the one time this summer, let your mouth get you in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you think about it, or his personal life, he's got, you know, he's a pop. If anything, he should run for president or something, because the man can speak, everybody listens. He's even tempered, he's a natural.
Aren't you one who always said that it was all fake?
I said that it's practiced and rehearsed and polished. Yes,
every good
politician, right? Or well, not every good athlete. I mean, if you're a good athlete, I can name a shit ton of good athletes who need to go through the Drew Brees.
No, but people who are
Michael Thomas.
Yeah. But people who are classed at the height of their powers are good with the media. That's something that gets taught early on.
The world we live in.
Yeah. You know, you've got to be aware of, like I said, the world we live in at the moment and what actions and social media and how. I think Twitter wasn't even around when Drew Brees was was playing for the Saints.
And
another thing too, like you said, his leadership throughout the whole time. I mean, guys listened to him. He had the dedication. He worked so hard that guys would follow him. And look at the year that we had to play without Sean. You know, look at the burden that had to be put on him then. In addition to the burden of having some of the absolute worst defenses in the history of the league, and our floor was 7 wins. You know, the fact that he dragged those teams to 7 wins is still mind-boggling.
Without Drew Brees, those 7-9 seasons were 3-13. Maybe worse. Maybe even worse than
3-15.
Yeah.
Easy.
So, you know, you were rolling off the stats before. And the stat that always impresses me the most is the consecutive games with a touchdown. So obviously he's got the record with 54, but did you know that had Lance Moore not dropped a touchdown in a Falcons game on a Thursday night, that run would be 98 consecutive games with a touchdown.
Jeez.
God damn it, Lance Moore.
But thank you for your 2-point conversion.
Yeah. He tried to drop it.
Totally redeemed yourself.
If Lance Moore had caught that touchdown, that would be 98 consecutive games.
Yeah, because the 45 run. Yeah, wow. The 45 run.
Wow.
Now that is insane.
Yeah, because I think behind his 54, it's like 47 or something, was it? Unitas?
Yeah, I think 47 was the record, wasn't it, when he broke it?
Yeah, 47 by Unitas, yep.
And
the way they broke records, though, you know, like Sean Payton's a great coach for this because I love when they set up games for him to break these records in front of the home crowd. You know, I mean, it was just all those moments that you see those highlight reels. I mean, I remember the Traquan pass. That was what put Traquan on the map for us, right? Which one was that? Was that the passing yards? Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact he got that on a touchdown as well was just.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He didn't need to get a touchdown.
Didn't he get all of his big records on touchdown passes? He got Devery Henderson one. Yeah, so we got the Devery Henderson one was breaking Unitas' record.
Yeah. That was against the Chargers, no less, against his former team.
Against the Falcons, he threw a touchdown to Darren Sproles for breaking Marino's single-season yards record. And then obviously the career yards record was broken with the touchdown as well.
Oh, man. Now you're making me sad that he's gone. No more records broken except for maybe interceptions. Right. But
and less so than his athletic ability, which, and then that goes into the whole conversation about quarterbacks in general, is he was not necessarily known for his athletic prowess. He was not a great runner.
Excuse me. Have you seen the spin move put on the Falcons defense?
That's a testament to how bad their defense is.
That's Drew Brees.
I mean, athletic ability and accuracy and consistency, yes, but you know, strength and all that, but his real strength was his brain, you know, and
where and his desire to always outwork everybody else. I mean, he's a maniac,
plain and simple. Something else, his competitive you talk about, nature,
yeah. Him outworking, you know, his kids, you know, on his retirement announcement are like, oh, we're excited for him to retire to spend more time with us. Like, kids, he ain't gonna be spending more time with you, he's gonna be calling Notre Dame games and stuff. You don't think this man is going to prepare relentlessly for those games? He's probably already watching game footage from Notre Dame last year so we can learn all the players' names, all their numbers, know what plays they run. I mean, he's going to be relentless in his preparation in the booth. His kids ain't going to see him. You know, and if he goes to Sunday Night Football, it's going to be even worse. His kids are – they're like, oh, we get to have more time with Dad. No.
No, you don't.
No, you're not. You got to probably have less time with him now than you did when he was playing, because they'd go to practices and stuff like that. They're not going to be able to go on road trips with him to wherever he's going, you know, to call games and stuff. So
it's going to be really interesting here in the booth. I think
he should probably stay here and coach. He should work with the Saints coaching staff.
Not enough
money in it.
I almost think he'd be like a kind of like a pay for them diamonds. Maybe he'll go to practice and watch him practice and then work with some of the quarterbacks after.
Like Zach Street used to.
Yeah.
We'll just bring him in as a motivational speaker. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only going to be calling college games for 1 year, isn't he, before he's coming to the NFL. Sure.
I mean, I think he's going to be doing that, but also doing.
Like the Olympics.
The studio show on Sunday Night America.
Basically, NBC's like premier sports events. He'll be working on that stuff cast as well.
You know, honestly, with the way Romo calls games, he's got a
volleyball in Japan in the summer.
he's got a high bar with Romo. Like with the way Romo calls games, like he's got a high bar. Because
Drew Brees is going to. Romo.
That's what I'm saying. That's why his kids are never going to see him, because he's going to be relentless trying to perfect his game. I'm telling you, he's watching Notre Dame tape already. I know he is.
Oh, he probably has been since day two of the
when he signed the deal last winter. Yeah, he's probably did the whole offseason doing that. But
you think even during like in the locker rooms and stuff, other players might be playing Madden and Breeze was back there like calling the games with, and that was like part of the locker room camaraderie.
Jeff, I liked your idea in the last podcast when I was listening to it about all of us auditioning for the.
I think we might. That might be fun. We should get like a little like replay of a game and.
We should all pick our favorite Drew Brees play and then do a play by play.
There you go. That would be good.
Speaking of plays, you know what's funny? The retirement news, somebody posted a video of the first play from scrimmage of the Peyton Breeze era in regular season.
Saw that.
Right. It was like, I mean, I totally forgot. I knew we won the game. I don't remember how we won the game, but the first play of the game was like the 70-yard bomb for Cleveland to up 7-0 at the beginning of the first game.
I bet you just thought nothing changes as soon as that happened.
I mean, that was it.
We're used to it. Nothing changes. Jeez,
I cannot barely even remember.
I mean, I remember there was a Colston catch against Green Bay in game two where we won towards the end. Like, that's before that Falcons game. That's really out of those first two games. I just remember we won. I remember that play at the end of the Green Bay game. Unless it was the Cleveland game. I don't know. But I remember we scored late to win one of them. But yeah, it's pretty hazy. I have more memories of other games. But, you know, one thing I'll really miss was Drew going back and stepping up in the pocket before passing. And then just throwing, whether it's a crossing route, deep post, whatever, just, God, I'm going to miss watching that guy. Really going to miss watching him work his magic.
Do you remember the Cincinnati game a couple of years ago where it was just like 2 seconds before, we were like 25 yards out. It's like 2 seconds before halftime. And like, oh, the Saints going to go for a field goal here. No, and Breeze just launched it down the field.
That was a game we beat the shit out of him like 50 to something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it was just, you just sit there laughing going, this guy is just insane.
There was a stretch in the middle where, or beginning and middle where, remember, we would speak 2 minutes, a minute and a half left in either the half or the game. And it's like foregone conclusion that we are going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, him and Peyton are the best ever at 2 minute drills. Do you remember the one season opener a couple of years ago against Houston?
Yeah, 30 something seconds, right?
37 seconds, and we went 62 yards in 37 seconds to score a field goal to win it.
You think Jameis can do this?
Jameis will do it in 3 seconds because he can throw it further than 30 yards.
Well, he'll throw it right. Yeah, he won't have to. Breeze did that with 65 passes, but
Breeze just doing that, winding it up.
You know, that is something going forward too. The confidence level that we're going to have now. I mean, yeah, you still have Sean, but not having the last year and a half or so of Breeze, our confidence wasn't there. Not like it was 10 years ago, but right. It's like, it's still Breeze, you know?
I think you're going to see Kamara open up a lot more because obviously teams will now defend deep ball a bit more. So it might open up a little bit of space for Kamara to do some more damage. So you might see Kamara explode in next year or two.
But you know, you talk about that, the confidence, right? And that's where I do feel, I know this is about, you know, reminiscing about Breeze, but I will say looking ahead, because of the last 2 years with Breeze, a little bit of a decline there, I do feel like there's going to be a level, like that's a, not total relief, but there is going to be some little relief that we're going to have knowing that we don't have those kind of concerns. You know, like, again, the defenses will have to play a little more honest now because they have a quarterback who can throw it deep. And so it opens up the offense a little bit. So I think there is a point where the greatest of all time becomes there comes some liability with continuing to play. So I do think I think that's also why Saints fans are like, I wouldn't say we're all depressed over this. Like Jason said at the beginning, we saw it coming. We knew it was coming. We had years to prepare for it. But at the same time, the way the last season ended, I think we all were kind of like, you know, we're in agreement that it's time.
I think the only regret I have looking back at it, and I think we're always gonna say this, is that he finished his career a year that there are no fans in the stadium. That's tragic for me. That's horrible. Yeah.
Incredibly sad.
So I really hope,
think about it. There weren't any fans when he came in. He came to the Saints.
Everything. Yeah, he retired.
He went out like he went in.
He went out the same way he came in. Yeah. That's funny.
But no, that's the saddest thing. So I hope, obviously, we'll see Breeze back at the Dome.
I'm sure. So when do they retire his number?
So
immediately.
I don't think the Saints
take him in the Ring of Honor now.
Like, right.
Have they ever retired a number? Have they ever retired a number?
You retired.
I thought they did. Did they not?
No.
They put people in like the Ring of Honor, but their numbers aren't, I don't think, retired.
Right. Like, yeah, nobody else can wear number 9 for the Saints ever.
Yeah, you retire. I believe.
Even if they don't officially do it, you don't do it. Like, you know, even if they don't like hang his jersey up and do it officially. Like, no one should ever wear that number.
Coming to the Saints and win number 9 jersey. That's Joe.
According to this, retired number is Jim Taylor, number 31, Doug Atkins, 81.
Okay. It's news to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they die or something? I mean, is that why?
While in uniform. Let's see. Let me double check this. But yeah, New Orleans Saints, Jim Taylor and Doug Atkins.
Okay, retired.
The bar was low back then.
Yeah.
You retire that number.
I am very thankful that I was able to go to a game this year and at least see him, even if we lost and it was a weird game and the Dome wasn't full. At least I did get to see him one last time.
Yeah, that's one thing I was happy that I actually managed to make the trip.
Yeah, that's the point.
Breeze.
The point I was going to make, Ben, from our point of view, is obviously the majority of our watching of Breeze has been on the television. So, you know, that one year where we got to see him play twice in one year at Wembley against the Dolphins, and obviously you went for the Redskins game, I went for the Falcons game, it gives you a whole another level of appreciation for just how good he is, was, whichever way you want to frame it. And I'm just, like you just said, Ben, so glad that I got to go and see him play a game in the Dome. It was only once, but that once was enough.
Absolutely. Like, that game against Washington as well, the fourth quarter comeback to send it into overtime was ridiculous. I remember everyone around us was getting up their seats and walking out. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to sit here and take it all in. I know we've lost this game, but I'm just going to sit here. I've made a journey all across to go and watch this game. I'm not going to leave early and head to the bars like everyone else is. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy it. And then just, that comeback was just insane. You know, even Kobe Fiena was catching balls that day.
And it does make me think back. I'm sure I didn't, but it's like, man, did I ever take any of this for granted? I mean, I've gotten to watch Breeze so many times in the Dome. I don't think I took it for granted, but it's like, oh man. Like, did I really fully appreciate now everything that he gave us?
I've ever took it for granted, but I would say in the last few years, more than anything, I allowed myself to get upset over anything short of absolute perfection. And I think if it's not taking it for granted, it's we got spoiled. You know what I mean?
So this is like,
so next year where, we're all gonna next year Saints Twitter is going to be on like pissed off about everything.
It's gonna be pretty insane.
This is where I kind of go into the I'm torn part, because I've only had two man crushes in my life. One of them is Drew Brees, the other is Joe Burrow, and so while I'm sad for him to go, I'm a Saints fan first, so I'm excited to see what happens in the future. I'm excited to see where they go from here. And I don't feel the level of sadness yet. And it may be because I don't have anything to compare it to. Like, everybody's expecting this huge drop off once we get, you know, if it's Jameis or Taysom, whoever it is next. But I don't think until I see them play and see how they do and I can compare them. I mean, you have a small sample size with Taysom from when Drew was hurt and Jameis a little bit. But I don't think until I get to see them play, then maybe at that point I'll be like, man, I really miss Drew. Like, right now I'm too focused on what's next.
Hope. You still have hope. It's that off-season hope, because right now,
I guess
everybody, you know, Jameis in our minds is perfect still, right? If you go with me on that, you know what I mean. Like, he hasn't thrown 30 interceptions. He's still in our minds capable of carrying it on for another 10, 15 years. You know, we still have that hope until they start playing, and then we're gonna see what reality looks like.
Right. And like, you know, we've had Drew for 15 years. Until I have something else to compare him to, I'm not going to fully miss or appreciate, I guess, what I had until I, you know, y'all talk about old games and stuff. And there are a few moments that I remember, but I don't remember, like, you're talking about this Dallas game where he did this and that. I don't remember that stuff. Like, I remember the big moments.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I'm sure it would, but I just don't. And
you call yourself a Saints fan? Go fuck yourself.
I'm like that with everything, though. Like, you can tell me about. I remember the big, you know, I remember big LSU games. I'm a huge LSU fan, but I don't remember every single game that's, you know, that I've seen them play. Mm-hmm. I remember the national championships.
So you remember like the game. Feeling and the.
Yeah, and like the I remember confidence. One of the big games I remember that was probably my favorite Breeze game was the game, and I want to say it was a primetime game. No, was the game we blew out New England and they pulled Tom Brady in like in a third quarter.
That was the Super Bowl year. Yeah, 2009. We did that to a lot of teams.
I mean, look, Giants, there are a lot of games that I remember
that game too, Scott. You know, I was at that game.
there's some later 06 and even some 07, 08 games. I don't really remember. Like, I remember the Dallas game because I was there in person. Yeah.
I remember the there was another Dallas game in the new stadium. I want to say it was...
Was that Thanksgiving? Was that when Malcolm Jenkins stripped the ball?
It was the one when they gave the fullback that we had gotten from Dallas the ball. Like, he scored like two or three touchdowns.
That was Mike Carney. That was the game in 06.
Was it 06? That was that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Carney scored three. Carney scored three times.
I was living up here for the game I'm thinking of.
The other Dallas game I remember is also winning overtime. CJ Breeze launching it down the sideline to CJ Spiller of all people.
The one play that CJ Spiller made.
I remember that play now that you bring it up.
Yeah, see.
I mean, like, I remember the beach around.
But that obviously wasn't Breeze.
Well, he threw the original pass.
He threw the pick.
Yeah, he threw the pick.
I remember the NFC championship game.
He
could do the backstroke in the end zone. I remember the call from that Devery touchdown. I mean, but that was the one thing I loved, was those years with Devery and that kind of core team, when they were really letting it fly. I mean, oh my gosh.
Well, that's Indianapolis.
It was just raining touchdowns back.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, there was a 10-year stretch where Breeze averaged like just under 5,000 yards a season for a decade. Like, it's crazy to think how insane the offense was.
It's criminal that he didn't get the MVP vote in 2011.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Rodgers had a great season, but really, if you look at it, 2009. I mean, there's no reason Peyton Manning should have won it over Breeze in 2009.
Right.
And so I'm hopeful for the future. Kind of just to wrap up what I was saying, I'm hoping for the future. I hope that we can bring that kind of offense back, like we had with Drew the first, you know, however many years when we, you know, were playing really well with them. And I don't, is it Jameis? I don't know. We'll find out. If it's not, he's only signed a 1-year deal, so we can either draft somebody or get a free agent next year when the cap's higher.
And Breeze is the greatest ever to play. Okay.
Did you just say Breezes?
I did. I mean, maybe he can resurrect himself and come play again.
He'll resurrect himself.
Easter is coming.
Right.
He'll resurrect himself next year in the form of Russell Wilson.
So how much do you think he played a part in designing the offense with Peyton and Carmichael? And if any, and then how much do you feel like his success is because obviously they created an offense around him and his talent? And if, and where I'm going with that is, if you believe we can do that with, you know, and Peyton is not the kind of coach who's going to say, you're going to play in my offense, or, you know, to Jameis, you're going to play in the offense that we've been running for the last 15 years in the Drew Brees offense, versus where the Saints are about to reinvent their offense around Jameis Winston's talents and abilities. So there's your hope in the future as well, that Jameis, you know, everybody who played, like even Bridgewater, when he filled in, Taysom, when he filled in, they were still playing Drew Brees's offense, and they aren't Drew Brees. So here we're going to get
altered.
Right. We're going to get Sean Payton designing an offense around Jameis Winston.
If he lets Winston off the lead.
But I don't know that it was Drew Brees' as offense, because if you look at the two games where Drew got hurt, like the actual games where Bridgewater came in 1 year and Winston came in the other year, we lost both of those games because the game plan and the offense was centered around what Drew could do. When you brought in a different quarterback with a different skill set, they didn't fit what the game plan was. But then the games after that are the games we won because he changed the offense and catered it more towards those quarterback strengths.
In fairness, we won a lot of those Teddy games with defensive
defense.
But yeah, I think it is Peyton's offense, but Breeze really understood it. Like they were locked in together. Even, you know, not just necessarily the plays call, but if they were slight tweaks here and there, Breeze just instinctively knew where the ball had to go, and could do that. I mean, they were just in sync together, not Backstreet.
It was an incredible tandem, and obviously, you know, we don't know how the other half's going to survive without the other one being there. But that's part of the excitement. And I'm sure that is massive fuel for Sean Payton to go ahead and try and win without him. That must be massive fuel for him.
Hopefully it works better than Belichick without Brady this year.
Yeah, that's a whole other story, but with them in free agency. But that's completely else. But no, I've got to shoot now anyway. But I just want to say, yeah, Drew Brees is just Drew Brees. There's nothing more you can say right about it. He's just sensational. And he was the face of New Orleans sport for a long time. And yeah, well, let's see who steps up and takes the torch.
Yeah, and that I guess will be a conversation for a different show as far as who we think is going to do it and what.
We got a lot of time to think about that.
Yes, well, funny you should say that, because taking the torch off of the new face of New Orleans sport, we're doing a Pelican Plunge podcast this week, so tune into that.
Yeah, finally. Zion City now.
All right, catch you guys later.
See you, Ben.
All right, bye, Ben. Later, Ben.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know.
But yeah, just, you know, crazy to think of where the franchise was when he came in. I mean, how much uncertainty. I mean, I just remember the uncertainty of living here, going through the aftermath of like what the hell's going to happen? What's going on?
The franchise was in San Antonio, wasn't it?
Right. I mean, and this is even, you know, the franchise and the city itself.
I remember, like, yeah, and that's another part of Drew Brees was the leader this city needed at that. You know what I mean? He and Sean Payton changing the culture of the team, but they changed the culture of the city, the whole sense of pride. And, you know, and if you really do get and understand the value of a sports team in a city by seeing what they did for that city.
And like we needed something to rally around at that point. Everything was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, think about the decision he made. I mean, he went and drove through South Beach, Miami, and then came and got lost and drove through Chalmette after Katrina. Like, right. Even before Katrina, right. Chalmette. Yeah. But after Katrina and seeing all the destruction and damage, and he chose to
go. Well, hold on. The Dolphins denied him. I mean, the Dolphins doctors didn't clear him. I'm sure if they did, he probably would have ended up in Miami.
If he wanted to go to Miami, he could have gone. He could have gone to Miami, like he could have, if he wanted to. Now the doctors had their. They wanted him to come in for another evaluation for the doctors. You know, if he would have wanted to go there, he could have gone there, or he could have gone somewhere else. I don't know, but you know, if I drove through Chalmette after Katrina, I don't know that I would have wanted to come here, and kind of go in a different direction. That speaks to him and both he and Brittany's, I think it kind of called to them religiously. They felt that that the city needed them. They felt they saw all this destruction and felt that God's telling me this is where I need to be to help these people.
Yeah, look, they definitely came in and did a lot for the city when they were here. So definitely props to them for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the story goes that he'd agreed a deal with the Dolphins. They printed a shirt up with his name and number on it. The doctors wouldn't clear him. The GM at the Dolphins at the time was Randy Mueller. I don't know. Somebody you used to play for the Saints, I think.
Oh, no, he used to be the GM of the Saints. He was the guy before Mickey Loomis.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, he was at the Dolphins, I think. And they said that
did it on purpose
and he phoned Mickey Loomis and said, look, we're not going to pass him, so you may want to think about it. And Mickey Loomis said, he's going to pass our physical, don't worry about that. But don't forget, at the time we had our famous Dr. Nick, didn't we?
Nick, hi, really, everybody.
Hey,
your shoulder looks very good.
And so began the saga of the Saints doctors. That's funny. Ugh. So what happens? All right, he does the NBC thing. How long? I heard somebody say they thought maybe 1 year, and then he's in the NFL already.
I think it depends.
Is he not going to do the Notre Dame and the Sunday night in America? this year? He's doing Sunday first.
He's going to do the studio Sunday Night in America, but they're talking about putting him and Tirico in the booth.
Oh,
during instead the of game. Like, yeah, him and Tirico are going to take the place of Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
Yes. Interesting.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Yeah.
That's the long-term plan.
Man.
He's going to cut his teeth on Notre Dame. Him and Tirico are going to cut their teeth on Notre Dame. Not that Tirico needs to cut his teeth, but Breeze does.
But the chemistry between the two of them.
Eventually move them to Sunday night in the booth.
Oh, my God. And please tell me that we'll never hear from Chris Collinsworth again.
I hope so.
Well, I don't know, Jeff. You'll be hearing me from somewhere.
It's almost as bad as listening to Dickie V calling games. Which we'll discuss on the Tiger's Den podcast this week.
You're not a fan of Chris Collinsworth then, Jeff? No.
Chris Collinsworth in pros, Gary Danielson in college football. Those two are the worst.
And Chris Collinsworth, for one, like, he doesn't hide the fact that he doesn't have a whole lot of respect for the Saints. But two, he's just always come off as this arrogant, pompous jerk. A know-it-all whose shit doesn't stink, and it's kind of like, I mean, he was a good receiver, I'll give him that. So, but I mean, come on, you're not, you know, I could name 35 receivers before you, you know, and he thinks he's God's gift to football.
Yeah, and then they always pick a team that they decide to kind of focus on, and he talks about them like the whole game. It's just like
it could be more of a testament that he's lazy and he read like six bullets about that team, and that's the only thing he can talk about.
It's possible.
I mean, that's going to be something I'm interested to see with Drew. Like, I want to watch for because we know we know the Saints, we know in and out. When the national games come on and you hear what the national announcers say and talk about the Saints, we see and understand that they're clearly getting the very superficial storyline. They're not really able to truly talk about what's truly going on because, I mean, they just simply don't have the time or the insight, the in-depth day-to-day experience with the team. So they talk about the things and we always kind of get annoyed with it because they're saying things that we're just like, oh man, that's not even a real accurate representation of what's going on here. And then the funny thing is, though, we watch when they talk about other teams all the other weeks and we buy it, right? We're like, yep, that's what they said about it. And as you think about it, they really don't know what they're fucking talking about. They're just reading from a list of bullets that the Saints gave them and a couple of interviews that they did before the game. I want to see how much Drew Brees is able to push past that stuff and really give us true insight. Like, that's what everybody likes about Romo. Romo is not necessarily talking about the team's identity. He's talking about the game of football. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that's going to be Drew Brees. I mean, clearly he's not doing the play-by-play. He's doing the analysis, which is going to be the X's and O's. And who better? I couldn't think of anybody better that I want to hear talk about the play that you're watching, the strategy of the game, what's happening in front of you, than somebody like Drew Brees. Yeah.
Right.
One of the smartest men to ever play the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have CBS, you know, Fox has got Aikman, CBS will have Romo, and then NBC will have Drew and Fox.
And Aikman's garbage, to be honest.
ESPN, not great.
I mean, Aikman doesn't really give you a whole lot of insight.
So, Jeff, who do you like?
I like Romo.
Jeff likes Jeff.
I like this guy. Jeff from the likes Dome Patrol Nickelodeon podcast. Coverage.
Jeff likes the Nickelodeon coverage. That's what he likes.
He likes getting slimed.
I like Zac Efron's Nickelodeon coverage or whoever.
Jeff puts the game on mute and calls it himself.
I like I like Hokey and Deuce.
Hokey's dead.
Too soon.
Damn it.
Hokey's dead.
No. I like Romo. I mean, there's not a whole lot of announcers that I really care to like respect to listen to. I mean, I'll listen to them because they're on, but Romo's the only one I think that really provides.
You're not tuning in for them, are you? That's the point.
Correct. But I would tune in for Breeze. I'd tune in for Romo.
I still won't watch Notre Dame games though.
But actually, no, I don't even tune in for Romo. I mean, no, who tunes in for the freaking announcer?
So I guess that's going to be the interesting. I might be tuning in for Drew Brees because I fucking hate Notre Dame.
Right?
I don't want to watch a single second of Notre Dame, but if Brees is calling the game,
can't do it.
Give me my shamrock.
The first time Brees calls a Saints game is going to be very, very interesting.
I would, I'd tune in for any Saint, former Saint, calling games. And I like the fact that we're getting a few of them out there.
No, I can watch the Notre Dame games and pull for the other team, obviously. So.
Who was it? Who was it that we got to call a couple of our games this year?
Vilma.
Yeah, Vilma.
He was good, too. Mm-hmm. He was good.
Yeah.
He did a very good job. You like the players, like kind of like Jeff said, that analyze the X and O's, because that's what you're there for. You're a color analyst. You're not there to, you know, talk about crap and the fluff stories. Right. You're there to give the X and O's and to give insight to what maybe the average person doesn't see. That's why they pick X players to do that. You got the play-by-play guy calls it as he sees it, and then you got the X's and O's guys, former players,
that can really delve
into it.
Right. This is the play-by-play. This is what's happening. And then the analyst guy, this is what just happened.
Right.
And what's about to happen.
This is why, right, you know, the break down the plays and whatnot. Yeah. So,
and with football, you have a lot of time for the personal stories. So obviously they filled that in, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are way in left field here. So I will say we might have exhausted the topic. I think we're ready to close the book on Drew Brees. Have anybody got any final thoughts? Any final messages that you want to say to him? Because you know he's listening.
It was a privilege to be able to watch him for 15 years, both on television, but especially getting to see him in person, and just what he turned the Dome experience into over the last 15 years has just been incredible, too.
He invented the pregame chant. It was his idea to do the 35-yard line hand drop and the Hoodat chant before games. I remember that.
And the first time they have a full stadium, he needs to be the one leading that chant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure. And every playoff game.
You're assuming we're going to be back in the playoffs, Jeff.
I was about to say, you're assuming we're in the playoffs.
Right? We're the Saints again.
Sean Payton's still here, y'all. Sean Payton's still here. And Kamara and Michael Thomas. See, I said him first this time.
We're 9-1 without Brees in the last 2 years. Let's not get too...
That's where the hope, I think, comes from. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to have hope when you look at what we did without him the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
very, very interesting. No, I think Jason summed it up. Like, yeah. I said, I only got to see him play live twice in 2017. And it was a privilege to see him play both times. Whole different perspective, actually seeing him play live rather than on the TV. And yeah, he's going to leave a big hole, some big shoes to fill.
Upward and onward.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We'll thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, Jason, the Premier League Podcast, James, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den, Scott. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and Tiger_Podcast. You think about it, we all have our own show. If you think about it, everybody's got their own one show, and then we have the big pull it together show. All right. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, Breezes, donkeys.
Good night, Drew Brees Nation.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish small. Yes. From the top. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Satan logo marching on now. Who has said it don't beat New Orleans? Beat New Orleans, beat New Orleans. I'm a New Orleans Saint, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. New Orleans Saint, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. Go, go, go Saints, go, 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 go Saints, go. Zone black and gold, watch how we stop clowns. Bloods and foes get exposed till they blue black. Get your team blue back, partner, this is who that. Nation of made men, we survivalists. Blazing men, obvious competition, more back. Certainly, fleur de lis held high. Murder these third degrees, heard a breeze telling why. Thunder in every blow, destiny in the name. Bludgeon in every foe, we the best of the